to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God and have the privilege of spending a half hour with you on the radio here Monday through Friday at 8:30 of the morning on WMIE 91.5 FM. I also get to hang out with you if you're listening at 10:30 on WWBC 1510 AM. If you miss those two opportunities, check back at 5 o'clock on WMIE, and you can have the thrill all over again of discussing the Word of God and allowing the truth of God's Word to make an impact in your heart and in your life. I was doing some study and saw something in the Scriptures, and it's like, wow, that puts things in a completely different perspective if we can just adopt that mindset. And so I believe that every time that we encounter the Word of God, it ought to propel us into a deeper relationship, a more holy relationship, a greater understanding about God and the purpose that God has created for us than we've experienced before. I believe that every time a congregation comes together, everybody should be moving closer to Jesus, that there should be something that grabs a hold of our heart and says, you know, I think the Holy Spirit is dealing with me about this. So that was great. I'm looking forward to today's program. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where we were on Friday. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 6. We'll pick up today's discussion at verse 8, even though we've touched on that a little bit, but we're going to go back and revisit that. Verse number 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But before we get there, I do want to say thank you to the folks at JITS Concrete. 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. And if you need block or concrete work done, they are the people to call. They know how to do things in concrete that I didn't even know could be done in concrete. They're just very, very good at what they do. Great people. And I would encourage you that if you need a block or concrete job done, that you give them a call and have them come out and take a look at it, see if they can get you on the schedule. They'll deal with you. They'll give you hard work. They'll give you all their expertise, and they will do it for a reasonable price. So give them a call, 321-536-5804, and that would be a big-time blessing. So we are. It's hard to believe, but this week will already be the end of January. It's coming, you know, the year just continues to roll on. Time just seems to be on fast forward many of the days. And so if you are planning on making 2020 a year of different reality than your previous years have been in the past, get going on it. Let's not procrastinate. Let's make the changes that God wants us to make. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6 says this, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." So that's where we're going to end the reading. And we're going to go back up to verse number 8, and it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." As I was preparing and reviewing the material before I came in to do the program, I wrote down these four words that as we're going through this passage, we need to recognize the gift, because it talks about the things that God has provided. We need to remember about the purpose of that gift, the process that God is going to use that gift in, and what the result is going to be. And if you remember those four words, the gift, the purpose, the process, and the result, you will see throughout the remainder of this chapter that those four things are very, very important. Remember, this is a gift that the Corinthians had expressed a desire to donate to other believers in a different region who were going through an extremely difficult time. It was a desire that was birthed in them. Now, the believers that they have said that they are going to help in that other region are going to be coming with Paul to Corinth, and Paul is preparing them. He's setting them up to succeed. He doesn't want it to be a surprise. You know that thing that you promised? Here's the people that are expecting to see some sort of tangibility about that. And so Paul prepares them, and he says, look, there's people who are giving thanks all over this region because of the gift that you have promised, because of the grace that is being demonstrated in the hearts of these believers. So when you go through 1 Corinthians and you see what about some of the different issues that they were dealing with, don't think that God wasn't using this church. He was. He was also refining that church, but he's working this congregation in such a way that it is being an inspiration to people even beyond their local region. So it talks about here in verse number 7, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. If there is a donation that is made towards a specific cause, we make sure at Merit Assembly of God that that donation goes to the cause that it was donated for. It's just, you know, I want to make sure that I honor the purpose for which it was given. The same way, when God designates a gift, God is a great giver, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Giving is part of God's nature. It is what he does. And in verse number 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." So here, as we're discussing the solution to a lifestyle of covetousness, which is one of the ways that God uses to deliver us from evil, he works in our heart and he changes us from a person who is constantly looking for what we can take from other people to how can we be a blessing to other people. And so Paul writes to them and he says, look, this gift that has been birthed in your heart, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. I don't believe that we should be looking at our relationship with God as a relationship of provision that's on a constricted budget, where grace is just barely seeping from the throne room and making its way to us. That's not the way that I read this at all. I see it that God says, I am able, I am willing, I want to make all grace, all favor abound towards you. I want to give you abundantly the power that you need to accomplish every purpose that I birth in your heart. I do believe that with God, all things are possible. I also believe that without him, there's not much that we're going to be able to do that is going to have lasting impact. But when his provision in our lives is given and there's a purpose for that gift, and we say, okay, God, how do we implement this? What is the process for this flowing through, that it is going to produce divine results? God loves a cheerful giver. So whenever we say, God, this is what I want to do, he says, I can make that happen. I can make that happen. So several years ago, I asked this question to our congregation. I said, what is it that you would do if you knew that you couldn't fail and you knew that resources were not going to be a problem? And the question, or the responses that I got at that point in time, weren't really in line with the question that I'd ask. So several years ago, I asked the question again, what is it that you would do for God if you knew that you could not fail and you knew that the provision was going to be there? And at that point in time, they understood that what was really being said is, could you give to this ministry here? Could you have God birth a ministry inside your heart? And at that point in time, it was like all of a sudden there was some understanding there that we live with purpose, that God wants to use not just people who are famous, that God wants to use people that nobody knows who they are. God's able to do that. So recently I was having a conversation with someone, and as I was having a conversation with them, they made a statement, and I will tell you that in all of the experience that I have had, that we were discussing what someone had said at a conference, and the person agreed that the statement was true and said, you know what? I believe that God's going to use you in that endeavor as well. And the first response that I had out of my mouth, because of all of the decades of experience, was this: it's never going to happen. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, wasn't letting go, and was telling me, don't say never to something just because it hasn't happened yet. You need to hear that word, receive that word, because I am able to make that happen. And so I share that story with you to let you know that my initial response isn't always correct. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, who is able to bring us to that place of faith instead of doubt. And so I went to that person and I said, you know, this is what, you know, God told me. And so I just want you to know that I renounce that statement of never. If we look to our own human resources, if we look to other people's reputation and how they have always behaved, it may create in us a resistance to believing that God is able to do something. But when we remind ourselves of verse number 8, and God is able, then all of a sudden we realize that it's not about us and it's not even about other people. It is what God can do. And here recently I preached that God is not only in operations on the stage, but he's in operation. He's working behind the scenes to bring everything to that point where the provision of God and the purpose of God and the process of God will bring about the results that God is looking to bring. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Now, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we read about this in verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Life is not always going to be easy. Life's not always going to be pain-free. But no matter what life brings our way, God's grace is abundantly provided. And we need to recognize that it is sufficient for the task. It is sufficient for the problem. And so I remind you that God's grace is about his favor. It is about him giving to us things that we do not deserve. It is also about his provision of power. It's empowering to be able to accomplish the things. Wouldn't it be horrible if God said, I want you to do this, and by the way, this is impossible? So figure it out. Have a great time. I'll see you later. Bye. That would be horrible. God doesn't do that. He says, I am going to make all grace abound toward you. Okay? So Paul has been talking up to this stage about things that he believed that the Corinthians were going to be able to do on behalf of other people who were going through an extremely difficult time. And he says, but before that happens, God is going to cause a tsunami of his grace to flow towards you. Not a tsunami of destruction, but a tsunami of his blessings. See, if we are going to be a blessing, we go back to Genesis chapter 12, where God told Abram, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. I will make you a blessing unto all the families of the earth. So it's not selfish for God to send his blessings our way. He knows that we've got to have something to be able to give, and so he gives that to us so that blessing can flow through us to the people that desperately need to be touched. God is able. You might want to remind yourself of this throughout the day, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, okay, now we're going to start talking about the purpose, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. Okay? So if we are not careful, we will look at situations and we will begin to identify all of the things that we do not have. We might not have time. We might not have money. We might not have the relationship. We might not have the networking or the resources or the skills or the money. We might not have all of those things. But Paul says when you begin to hear God's voice and begin to say, God, what is your strategy? Remember that he is going to cause all grace abound toward you, that you will have everything that you need, having all sufficiency in all things. That means that the money he's going to give you, now he's going to give you the resources. I will tell you this, that not only does God need to provide the resources for us, but he will provide for us the wisdom of how to be able to produce wealth. He will give us the ability, the knowledge to be able to manage wealth. He demonstrated that in Joseph. Joseph went from the prison to being prime minister in a very short period of time. And when he stood before Pharaoh and interpreted the dream that Pharaoh had, God gave him the strategy that was going to result in Egypt and the rest of the world at that point in time being saved from this serious famine that impacted the area. You say, well, I just really don't know how to do that. You know, every baby that has ever been born had exactly that same problem. There was something that they didn't know how to do. When our fixation is upon what God is able to do and make us into, then all of a sudden we realize, you know what? I may need to grow in order to be able to do this. I will tell you that I believe that every person ought to be growing. Every person ought to be applying themselves to try and learn, develop skills that they don't have. Many times we put an expiration date on those things because we haven't, or we've aged out of school or whatever. And I will tell you that whenever we stop learning, whenever we stopped growing, we have sentenced ourselves to a journey towards being obsolete. And if we're not careful, that can happen to our churches. It can happen to us as individuals. It can happen to us in our marriages. It can happen to us with our parenting, our grandparenting. There ought to be something that you are striving to get better at, because you know that God has a redemptive purpose in it. So I've golfed most of my life. I started playing golf probably before I was 10 years old. I know by 13, on my 13th birthday, I got a putter, and that was not my original set of clubs. That was a different set of clubs. And my dad said, you know, whenever you are able to break 100 on the par 3 course, then you can play the big course. And whenever you're able to break 100 on the big course, then you can play with me. And so that was always one of our goals. So I've played golf for a long time. And I have a friend that listens to this program, and he's treated me to golf, and we've played some golf together through the years. And I said, you know, I think that rather than playing more golf, before I really get into it again, maybe I need to go have some golf lessons, because I've never really been taught. I've never really had a golf instructor. It's been more just kind of figure it out as you go along, and somebody would give me a tip here and somebody would give me a tip here. And my golf game's not bad. I've shot in the 70s. I shoot in the 80s quite a bit. I shoot in the 90s and sometimes worse than that, but just depends on what all I've been going through. But I said, I think I may need to have somebody help me to get better. That's what God wants to do for us. He wants to make all grace abound toward you and towards me, that we will have all sufficiency in all things and may have an abundance for every good work. So I've told you on the radio program before that we've come from a past as a church where the church didn't have the money to pay its bills. There was a time when it didn't have enough resources to even be able to pay my salary. And it was a little bitty, teeny tiny salary. And so whenever we'd do a project around the church, we paid for it, you know, right then and there. Because we didn't want to owe anybody. Once God delivered us from owing money to people, and that was miraculous, then we said we don't want to find ourselves in that position again. So we may not make the renovations as quickly as other people do, but we take care of them in a financially sound manner. And we'd start a project in January, and we'd swim upstream all year trying to get back to break even, because we didn't want to be in a deficit. And one year God said, you know, I can make that provision happen in advance just as much as I can make it happen at the end of the process. And I said, I think I like that plan. You know, God's plans normally have a better track record than man's plans. Like, he's never failed. So I remember that year. That was my favorite year to pastor, because there wasn't the stress on, I wonder if God's going to provide, or is this going to be the week that provision comes in? God provided in advance, and we said, you know what? Let's put that provision to the use that God has for it. Let's take the provision that God has, and let's put it to the purpose that God provided for. Let's use the process that he's got in mind, and let's see the results. Have you been saved and God has given you a glorious testimony? Use that testimony for the purpose that, just not so that you're been impacted by the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wants to use your testimony to help bring revelation to other people. God will cause everything so that you have an abundance for every good work. I believe that God is going to accomplish great things through you. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program. You have
a
blessed day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Let my life be like a love song. Let my life be like a love song. Let my life be like a love song to your heart. Let my life be like a love song. Let my life be like a love song. Let my life be like a love song to your heart. Lord, the love you give so generous.